brother just said he went to Lake Como. He frickin' sent me a picture. It's in... Wow. Oh, holy shit.
Well, with that note, welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner, everybody. This is Sam Minter. I've got Yvonne Bo with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. Well, I didn't know you started recording already, for God's sakes.
It is Sunday, June 26, 2011. Hey, I got the date right.
Well,
everybody claps. Everybody be excited.
Yay! Woo! Woo!
We've got a jam-packed, exciting show for you today.
Jam-packed, baby.
Jam-packed. We'll be talking a little bit about the LulzSec hacker folks. We're going to be talking about the debt talks between Congress and the president. And Yvonne wants to talk about DVRs and how they suck electricity, you know, and destroy everyone's lives. But before all that, we are going to have a special guest with us today. At least we're going to try. We'll see if the technology gods agree with us today or cooperate. Yeah, that's it. We have an occasional listener and also someone who, way back when, actually did these shows with us back at the college radio station, and you know, a good friend of ours, who on Facebook earlier this week posted an interesting story. It relates to sort of children and computers and that kind of thing, you know. And Yvonne, being the laggard here with no children yet, may not have a huge amount to say. We'll see. But
My God, what nag? Give me a break.
Yes. Anyway, so let us try to get Rebecca to. Yeah, that's her name. If I didn't mention it. Oh, she also, of course, runs the site that the poems of the week come from. Let me try to get her onto this call right here. We'll see if this works. And here we go. Let's give it a try. I have to type in her phone number. Very exciting. Very exciting. Okay. Here we go. Okay, we'll see. The suspense builds. Do 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 do. Phone ringing.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Rebecca. This is Sam and Yvonne.
Hi, Sam and Yvonne.
So,
how are you?
Good. I'm on the beach. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Oh, yes, we can. Okay. I was like
wonderful.
Wondering. Okay, cool.
You know, the whole beach thing, you know, I haven't been to the beach since I moved to left Florida. I used to live in Florida, and I haven't actually bothered to go to any beaches anywhere ever since. But,
well,
you know,
the Florida beaches are nice, but yeah, you should go take your kids to the beach.
Yeah, I should, you know, we did once go to, like, a thing they call the beach here in Seattle. That's like a little sandy area, or maybe actually more rocky by, you know, on the sound, on the Puget Sound. But, you know, it's sort of, you know, it's salt water, it's waves, but it's not quite the same thing as a real beach. To get to a real beach, we'd have to make a real trip out of it, and we just haven't gotten ourselves organized enough to do that, so...
Oh, taking little kids in the car is a lot of fun. I really recommend it. I think you should plan a very long drive because little kids love being in the car for like 10, 12 hours at a stretch. They do.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if they've been given a lot of Benadryl at the beginning of the trip. Anyway.
Yvonne, always with the drugging the children.
Absolutely. I mean, I got something. If there's a problem, there's a solution.
So anyway, Rebecca, we have you on because... earlier this week, you posted on Facebook, and we picked up on you had an issue, I guess, with children and computers.
Let me just say this: you had a conniption, okay? All right, at some point this week is what I heard, and I was behind on reading the posting, so I go, like, you know, I don't know, busy with work. Well, actually, I was in Puerto Rico for 2 days this week, and I was in a court-ordered mediation. So lovely. And and I'm like, I was down there, and so I didn't catch up on this until, like, I think, I don't know, whatever. And I start reading it, and I could tell that you were just quite agitated. Okay, all right.
Well, I almost died on Wednesday, and
So well, here's the thing. Let's do the story. Tell the story, and then after the story, we can talk about general sort of, like, what do you do with kids and computers?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me just say, when I first posted on Facebook, I didn't realize the severity of it. When it first happened, it seemed kind of funny. I mean, I was angry, but it seemed kind of funny, and it wasn't as time unfolded as I realized what happened. About the first Wednesday was the first day of summer for us, no school, and we had a fun day planned. And about 9:30 in the morning, a package arrived to my name, and I'm like Angry Birds, you know, the game, the video game. I'm like, why are they sending me a package? I mean, I played the game, but I don't recall ever giving them my address. But you know, my son, who's 6 years old, Gideon, plays it a lot. So I open it up, and there's 5 stuffed animals in there, and I'm like, you know, in person, I'm like, get in, you know, and I'm like, did you order these? He's like, no. I mean, totally, totally lying. And, you know, and I know they're not just sending me 5 stuffed animals because of my great high score. You know, so I keep asking, and finally he cops to it. And I was like, you know, and I'm like, you know, give me your laptop. You know, he has his own little laptop and you know, and I'm like, give me your laptop. And then I'm like, and you know, he's lied to me, and I'm like, which card did you use? I have a whole bunch of cards, and he said he used my business card. I'm a small press publisher, and I have, you know, an account with
Wait a second, how does he get access to your card? Do you normally get
my
access
wallet
to your card? Okay, but
no,
but
he's never been given access to my card. He knows he's not allowed to go into my purse and take my stuff, and he knows he's not allowed to use my card. I mean, he knows he's not allowed to put names and addresses and personal information online. You know, I mean, we've had that discussion with him a bunch of times. You know, you don't put personal information. I mean, he has no idea. He knows what he did was wrong at the time. I mean, he knew he was doing something wrong, but he didn't understand the severity of it. So anyway, I said, go up to your room. And I'm just, like, totally ticked off, you know. But I'm not, like, furious. I'm like, oh, you know, this five stuffed animals.
Yeah, big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm thinking this is like $80. It turns out 5 stuffed animals were $147. But at the time, you know, so he's up in his room, and that's when I post on Facebook. I'm like trying to figure out the punishment for, you know, ordering, you know, stuffed animals and Angry Birds. You know, I'm angry, but I'm not. I haven't lost my shit, okay?
Right.
So then I'm sitting there for a minute. I'm thinking about it because I asked him. I said, did you order anything else? Oh, no. And I'm like, I don't believe him. So I lied to check. And so I go and I look in his Gmail account. And what I find out is he's created a secret PayPal account with my personal debit card information.
Can I say one thing? Your kid is way too
don't
smart
tell me
for a six-year-old.
He's a clever little chimp, okay?
Yes.
Any chimp can use a credit card. Like, I've heard that, oh, he's a genius.
I didn't say he was a genius. What I said is that for 6 years old, the average six-year-old will not be able to create a fucking PayPal account.
You're probably right, but, you know, just so you know, my husband Chris and I are so not impressed with him. And we've got a lot of people pull us, wow, that's so good. I'm like, we are not impressed. But so I look at his PayPal account, and there's 3 charges. One is the Angry Birds account. So he didn't use my business account, but he told me he doesn't know what card is what. He did that. And so then, and there's like a $35 membership to some website. And then there's a $100 charge to some gaming site of like their virtual money. And so I'm like, oh, no. And so, you know, I'm calling up the website and like trying to get credited. And I call up PayPal. And the woman's like, so you're 16-year-old? I'm like, no, my 6-year-old son. And, you know, so and they're very nice to me. And they help me out. They're like, well, we're going to dispute all these charges. And I'm like, great. And so I go into my son's room because I'm really going to chew him out. And he's asleep. He never takes naps anymore. But he's and I'm like, you're so lucky. And so I call up my husband who's at work. And then so he's like, so he and I go back to the account and start looking. And then we find like a couple weeks ago, and let me just say, we have a very large balance in our checking account right now because we're buying a house in 2 weeks. And so
right.
We have the down payment.
So you put all the down payment in there, right.
The down payment is in there. And money has been going in and out from like housework on our current house, contractors, furniture, all that stuff. And so, you know, money's been going in and out, back and forth, a lot of charges. And I haven't been paying especially close attention. So we go back 2 weeks, and Chris finds a Google checkout account that he created with my debit account. And there's 2 charges on that. And the first one is for $256 for additional online storage for his Gmail account. And then there's another one for 16 terabytes for $3,520. And I start crying. I'm not exaggerating. Because, I didn't notice the money missing immediately, but I would have noticed the money missing after we put the down payment down. Because, we have movers, we have painters, we have all these things scheduled. And I would have noticed I was, like, $3,800 short eventually, probably, like, very last minute. And so I was just so upset. I was crying. Chris almost didn't tell me about it because he knew I was going to freak out. And I'm just, like, I'm hysterical. You know, so that my husband works at Google, and he says, let me try to track this down and see if we can get this credit. And he says, usually, he says, online storage is non-refundable, and he's tracking people that he's getting sent to India, and the people in India are looking through, they go, looks good to us, you know, like closing out the ticket. And finally, after a day, and this is, again, like my husband's an employee at Google, it took him a day to find someone in the United States. They are crediting us back our money. It'll show back up in 5 to 10 days, which I am so thrilled and so grateful for. And I'm also like, if my husband wasn't a Google employee, I don't know how we could have made that happen, because I don't know how we ever would have found someone in the United States to deal with it. It would have been a lot more trouble. But so anyway, a few hours later, I have my talk with my son. We make up this contract. He's got a very structured summer of reading and bike riding and bed making and clothing folding. And, we're like, obviously.
No computers?
No computers till August. And when he does, he'll have to ask me, and I'll be sitting next to him. And, it's going to be much. Obviously, we gave him way too much rope. We have to take responsibility. Yes, he knew what he was doing was wrong, but he really, it's kind of like giving a kid a keys to the car and go, don't drive anywhere, don't go off the driveway or something. We have to take some responsibility here ourselves, and which we do, and we're very angry at ourselves as well. But so I just, after a few hours, I calmed down and we worked this out, and, I'm not hyperventilating, but there's still this business with my business account. Are there charges on it? And if so, what? And so, I don't want to call up because I get someone in India who can't really help me or doesn't understand what the actual issue is. And so I go, let's just go into the Bank of America. And I take Gideon because I'm thinking, not that I'm taking my son to Bank of America for parenting, but I'm thinking he needs to see, like the seriousness of the situation, right? Yeah, understand that this is a really big deal, because I'm trying to explain to him how much money $3,800 is. Like, I'm like, we don't pay that much for our mortgage. We all remember all the living room furniture we bought. It didn't cost that much. To get him to understand, like, that is an incredible amount of money. So, but we go in there and there's two dudes sitting in the room. I don't know why there's two dudes. I think one guy was modern, the other. I don't know why. But so we're in there, and so I explain what happened, and the guy looks at him and he says, "So how old are you?" And Gideon says, "I'm 6." And the dude high fives him right there. And this is the part that makes me the angriest about everything, because I was expecting someone to be like, "Well, young man, you know the severity of your actions," or to be like, "Oh my," or even look at me and go, "What kind of mother are you?" I wanted disapproval on some level. Because, I think that it should be disapproved of. He high-fived him, and I was getting very upset and twitchy, and I said, that is not the lesson I'm trying to teach my son. And he's like, well, I'm just so impressed the six-year-old did this. And I'm like, people go to jail for this. I'm like, what he did was illegal. I go, and if he did this to anyone else who wasn't my card, they would have called the police. If he would have, done our neighbor's card or something. I'm like, he could go to jail for this. I'm trying to, and they're like, well, yeah, sure. And then the other guy's looking through the account, and he sees this giant balance I have, and he's like, I bought an IRA from them like 15 years. I have an IRA with him like 15 years ago, whatever. And he's like, this is your only IRA. And the other guy's like casing me out, trying to, get me to open up more accounts with them. I look like some crazy rich bitch who has all this money and obviously doesn't even know when $4,000 is missing from her account. And it was just terrible. And so, but that was what I was angriest about. And then, I took my son had dinner at my sister's house that night. And my sister's husband said to me after I picked him up, he goes, yeah, pretty much all he got out of that experience was that the bank people thought he was really cool and high-fived him.
God.
My taking him there was actually a detriment. It was a bad decision in hindsight. She serves me right for taking my son to a bank to learn a moral lesson.
Well, exactly. Not in this country right now, definitely. But let me ask you a question. Why did he feel that he needed 16 terabytes of disk space? Did he say
why? Oh, he didn't know what he bought.
Yeah, it's just a button.
He didn't know what he bought.
He loves filling out forms. Like, I got a call a few weeks ago. I mean, there are warning signs, but I got a call a few weeks ago. Someone asked to speak to my son, and I'm like, who is this? And they're like, it turns out he puts an ad on some educational site. And I was like, he's 6 years old. I'd like, take him off. And they're like, oh, we're so sorry. They're like, but you may be getting calls from our affiliates. I'm like, so, you know, he likes to
go online and fill out forms for whatever, click a couple of buttons, yeah, and voila.
And when you get to the little drop-down menu of how much do you want, you go to the biggest number.
Yeah, what the hell? I'll take the maximum.
He had to click on advance to get to that number.
The thing is, and I'm surprised, like, for example, I don't know if he's got a PlayStation or an Xbox or one of those things.
No,
I'm surprised,
no.
Like, all of a sudden, he doesn't have any of those?
No.
Okay.
He never will.
I'm surprised that all of a sudden, you know, you didn't get, like, 100 Xbox games at home or something, you know? Or something like that, you know, all of a sudden, or, you know, but hey, you know, he bought, like, 16 terabytes of disk storage. Look, at least my point is, he didn't buy, like, 1,000 gallons of, like, Vaseline all of a sudden, you know? And he had a truck
or
show
a helicopter.
Who knows? Well, you know, all of a sudden they show up, hey, did you order 200, hey, here's your delivery, 200 cases of crazy glue.
Well, I'm like, just in terms of that, I want to mention this, and it wasn't unauthorized. But the first time that we gave Amy her own debit card, and we started putting her allowance into the debit card instead of giving her cash, the very first thing that arrived at our door, like a couple days later, big, huge box
of,
it was two gigantic jumbo rolls of bubble wrap. She was like 12 or 13, something like that.
And this was useful because
we still have some of it. But I posted a picture.
Why did she feel that she needed that? I remember you actually posting a picture of this a long time ago.
Yeah, she wanted some bubble wrap.
So she wanted bubble wrap. So she look.
And
hey,
Sam was such a mean dad, never bought his daughter bubble wrap.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine if you, and look, if Gideon would have had your temper card, you probably would have received an entire trailer load of bubble wrap. Okay?
If he would have got to that website, we would have got it. I mean,
yes.
That's the thing. Yeah. My husband works at Google, you know. I've had an internet account since I was in sixth grade. I mean, you know, we have a lot of computers at our house. Like, you know, people are like, well, why don't you, password lock your laptop? I'm like, well, you know, it was his laptop. I mean,
right.
So he had, you know,
right.
You know, he had access to his laptop. This wasn't that he was sneaking into my wallet, but he wasn't sneaking onto my computer.
Right.
But,
So how does he feel about the whole thing at this point? I mean, how did your husband come to him, and like, what was his, you know?
We both were very scary, I think, and so he was very upset, and there was a lot. I mean, like, I was crying, Gideon was crying, I mean, Chris was this big. My husband's 6'8", and has this big booming scary voice, and he was kind of terrifying in his, you know, his dad, you know, voice, and so like, he was very upset. And, but he really, you know, and I don't think he fully understands, he understands what he did was a big no-no at this point. But, you know, I was trying to talk to him. I was like, so, you know, do you understand what happened? He's like, he understands he got into a lot of trouble.
Right.
It's what he understands. And then, and now he kind of understands it was a lot of money and it really upset us. But, you know,
there's still the whole stuff of like, well, where does the money come from? Why does it matter? You know, all this kind of stuff. It takes a while because money doesn't just drop from the sky. You have to like work hard to get it. And what the hell is work? You know, so.
And he doesn't really understand. I mean, he knows how to count money. He can count money well. I mean, but yeah, he can't. I've tried talking about this stuff to him a number of times, and I think it's just an age thing that they just don't get it in kindergarten.
Right. Yeah. So let me do this. Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, Rebecca, if we can have you for a few more minutes, let's talk about like what kind of parental controls might or might not have made sense in your situation and for kids in general as they get older. We'll be right back after this exciting break.
Okay.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then, let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
So what beach are you at, Rebecca?
North Myrtle. Ugh. Okay. My dad loves this beach. I hate it, but it's I mean, it's crowded. It's, you know, it's like a bunch of trough restaurants.
I'll tell you that my brother just, you know, my brother being, you know, who we are, obviously sent me a couple of email pictures from Lake Como in Italy. It was, son of a bitch, just sent me, oh my God, this fucking thing is so gorgeous. I'm like, they just went this week, the whole family. I'm like stuck over here.
Yeah.
Right.
No, anyway. We're not at a court.
Anyway, oh. We're back. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
So, any other vacation stories to share real quick before we get back into it?
I just got here yesterday, so not yet.
I saw you went through south of the border, though.
Yes.
You know,
well.
The last time I went there was like when I was in college at night, and it was scary. And, yes. And so it was on the drive down, and, you know, we needed a pee break. And I go, it can't be that scary during the day. It's that scary during the day. For anyone who doesn't know,
if you drive down I-95 from the northeast down south for hundreds of miles before you get there, there are signs that are like, you know, 500 miles till south of the border. 300 miles to south of the boarding. You're almost at south of the border, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when you get it, what is it? Right on the North Carolina, South Carolina line, somewhere around there?
Yes. Right on the border.
Yeah, right. Probably
south,
south
of the North Carolina border.
Yeah. And, you know, it's basically this big ass rest stop with a bunch of, you know, a bunch of not that great restaurants and a bunch of not that great stores, completely touristed up. So, you know, there's like places where you can buy cheesy hats. There are places for cheesy souvenirs. There's places where you can get, you know, bad food. And I don't want to malign the place. There might be places with good food and good tchotchkes there. I don't know.
Any prostitutes?
At night, it's a different story. During the day, it was just a lot of scary people. Okay. And I went into the bathroom, and there was a Snicker wrapper right next to the toilet. I mean, that's...
Oh, that's a good thing it was only a Snicker wrapper. Could have been worse.
Just the visual of that for me was like, so someone's sitting on this toilet eating a Snicker
wrapper. Well, some people, it helps them with their, you know, their stuff.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, so, yeah, I admit that the last time I made that drive... We made a point
of stopping.
You sat
on the toilet and ate a Snickers bar?
Not quite. Not quite, but yeah, it's an interesting place. Anyway, so with your story, it is sort of one of the illustrations of the kind of things that can happen with kids who don't really understand what they're doing things online. And of course, as they get older, the problems, yeah, they're different kinds of problems that show up. But, you know, people debate, like, well, what do you do?
I know the kinds of stuff we've done.
But.
I remember, like, as a child, for example, I'm trying to remember whether I did something like this. And I'm trying to remember what I did. And I actually, what I am remembering is that my dad got me an online dial-up account, like, very, you know, like, when I was, like, gosh, when I was older. But must have been, like, 11 or 12.
Like a BBS or something?
No, it was more expensive like that. It was through a service called TimeNet. A service called TimeNet in order to be able to get to CompuServe. Okay, the one thing is that the hourly charges were pretty high. Okay. Now, Dad said something about me restricting how many hours I stayed on. But gosh, I got hooked on it, and I remember the first month or something. You know, Dad got a $400 or $500 charge. Now, I will admit, my dad being my father, he actually didn't flip out about it. But I actually was old enough that when I saw how much they charged, I said, oh, shit, I can't stay on that long. Okay?
Yeah.
But
well, I wish you were my. I wish my son had your respect
for
money.
But I was older. I was already older. Yeah. I mean, I was like 11. I mean, I think that, you know, when you're like 6 years old, I'm thinking one of the a time like that. You know, it's like, I mean, you don't really have a good sense of value of money. Okay, I think that's one of the things that comes with like maturity. And at this stage, you know, you just have to pretty much scare the shit out of him to not do anything stupid until he learns any better.
So
yeah, not that we tried to do, but
you know,
what are we doing?
Well,
what are we doing from now on?
Let me ask, you know, like people talk a lot about, you know, technological solutions to these kinds of things. Is there, and you know, there are time limits and there's website filtering. There's various ways of like seeing what they're doing. And from our point of view, I've said this before on the show. What we did was we had various software set up so that, we could easily monitor what was going. We didn't turn on any restrictions so that, you know, Amy could go to whatever website she wants. She could look at whatever she wanted, but we'd know about it. That's what we did. But there are a whole bunch of different approaches. Any thoughts on any of those, Rebecca?
Well,
or do you feel like it really has to be like you sit there in person with them or something?
Well,
checking.
For now, I mean, his email. I will be reading his email every day, mm-hmm. So I can, you know, that. So I can catch that kind of stuff. I mean, he's not going to have he's going to have to ask me for the laptop,
right?
And I'm going to be. The thing is, so he made a number of the purchases when I was in the room with him, because once he created the PayPal and
it's just
Google
a couple clicks.
Just a couple clicks, and I wasn't sitting there staring at him. And so, I mean, yeah, one morning he took my card and put it back. I didn't notice. And then, I mean, from there on out, he was good to go. You know, PayPal or Google Checkout comes right up if they click the button. So that's, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm going to be reading his email. I'm going to be knowing when he's on a laptop. I'm going to be doing lots of basically just screen chat. It's like going over there and seeing what he's doing. And he's going to have less time online, and I'm always going to be around there. And then, you know, like I said, and I'm going to be reading the email and geez, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he just can never try. I think I'm afraid, like, if I catch him doing anything like this, how I might respond.
Right.
I might really lose.
Are you considering at all sort of the things that, like, shut off access to certain websites, or are you just looking at, you know, hey, I'm going to keep track of what he's doing and pay attention?
Well, you know, that we don't have the completed plan yet, but I might be doing that. The thing is, there's so many websites, and the way he gets to these websites is like he'll be on, you know, like Google, you know, on ads. He clicks on ads. So, like, I mean, he has a link. Like, I remember when we came back from Frog, and like I woke up at 6 in the morning, and I didn't even get out of bed. I just grabbed my laptop, and I saw there was a LinkedIn a request from Gideon, who had been up like for an hour before, and had sent me. And I'm like, he had a LinkedIn account, and I'm like, I guess he's awake, you know. And so, I mean, there were those things that hadn't happened for a few months that, you know, again, should have been maybe bigger ding ding.
Does Gideon have a Facebook account as well?
No, he's not allowed, because thing was like, I was worried about Facebook.
Now, Rebecca, he wasn't allowed to do a lot of things. Are you sure he doesn't have a Facebook account?
I think I might have got a friend request, but I don't know. Because, I mean, he doesn't think those far ahead.
Right.
He'll do stuff he's not allowed, and then, but I should check his cash, maybe. I don't know. I don't think he does.
You know, Rebecca, I've been friends with Gideon for like 6 months now. I don't know what you're talking about.
Goodness, don't tell me that. Like, he has a Twitter account, and he's had but it's a lost account.
Well, he is so professional, though. I mean, let's face it. I mean, he did go to LinkedIn first before trying to go make a Facebook account, for God's sake.
Well, he said he worked at Google, and so then he got all these LinkedIn requests because all these people want to know someone who works at Google.
Oh,
and like,
God.
It's like his job title is Google, his employer is Google. You know, it's like Gideon Morrow, Google, 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 you know, in all the fields.
God, that is just too hilarious. Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Well, you know something? I got to tell you something. You got your hands full there.
I do. I guess this is karma for something.
Yeah.
Well, and the things, you know, and like I said, this changes with age. Like, I never had a six-year-old doing this. Amy got her own computer with us when she was 10 or 11, maybe. Before that, she shared one of ours. And, you know, once you get sort of a preteen and then a teenager, you've got a whole other set of things to think about.
You've got to worry about their friends online, real friends and predator friends. And you have to, there's the bullying and there's the people abducting your kids. And it's actually, you know, when
yeah,
I was freaking
I,
out, my friend said, hey, is this just money? He didn't make a friend online. And when my friend said that to me, I was like, oh, you're right.
Right.
It could have been much worse.
Like I said, we first turned it on with sort of basic monitoring so that we would get like, we had the ability to see screenshots of what she was doing. And, you know, I
just looked up Gideon's LinkedIn profile. He is Mr. Gideon Morrow, Google at Google. Okay, he does have four connections.
There you go.
Hey, and one of them is Rebecca. Now I notice that Chris is not connected to him, but you are. So therefore, okay.
No, I didn't take his LinkedIn connection. I refused it.
You accepted the connection to him. You're connected to him. Viewers of this profile viewed Kenneth Warford, Deputy Director of Voter Assistance, some attorney. Larry Sanderson.
Oh, that's his uncle.
Yeah, so you got.
Well, Ed is his uncle, but I'm not sure about the other two. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So anyway, we got the computer we had on basic monitoring. One of the first things we saw, like a month later, is she's looking at porn. You know, so.
Look, I'm sorry.
So, so the question.
I was a kid, and we were all kids. We looked at porn.
It was
in magazines.
Well, exactly. So
yes.
the question is, how do you? What is the appropriate reaction at this time? You know,
talk to her about sex.
She's 11 or whatever, right? You know, but like our take on it was that you know. And you know, Brandy did some of the talking. I did the catching. She did the talking. But like, you know, my thought was basically, hey, if she's old enough to be interested, she's old enough to look. Just make sure she knows how to be responsible. Blah blah blah. You know, but
they can't be.
I know. But
let me tell you something. Even 35-year-old adults are not responsible about it. I mean, look at what's his name? That idiot in Congress. What's his freaking name?
Wiener.
Wiener.
Exactly.
How could you say that?
Really? Really?
So, and of course, the fact, you know, for that kind of thing, the fact that your parents are watching, even if they say, yeah, go ahead, watch, do it, you know, watch, look at as much porn as you want. Just keep in mind, we're looking too. You know, that's sort of a deterrent, at least from that point of view anyway, but you know, and then, you know, there's like Rebecca said, there's talking to their friends, there's like, oh, what do you do when you catch them talking to like a much older boy? What do you do when they're like planning to go behind your back and have like little parties, you know? And then you have to decide, and there's a whole threshold there in terms of when they're younger, you want to be really, really on top of this stuff because they can really get themselves in a lot of trouble. As they get closer and closer to 18, you have to be letting go. And you have to be letting more and more of, and just say, you know, they're going to be doing things I don't approve of. That's part of being a teenager. And you hope for the best. You know, you can't keep the same kind of level of, you know, control and observing when somebody's 16, 17 as you can when they're 12. You know?
I'll probably turn to pharmaceuticals when Gideon's about that age to get it for myself, I think.
I think that is a wise, wise choice.
You know, and so, I don't know. I mean, it seems to be working out okay. I mean, like, we actually still have the infrastructure set up to, like, you know, be able to see the snapshots of what she was doing on her computer, but I'll be honest, I haven't looked at it in months. you know, whereas it used to be, you know, several times a day, checking to make sure she was doing what she was supposed to be doing, you know. Not anymore. I mean, you know, at some point you just have to say, okay. And we're probably, she's due for a new computer probably later this year. It'll probably be a laptop instead of a desktop. And we're seriously considering basically putting no controls on the laptop, and saying, you know, you're almost 16, or you will be 16 at that point, whatever. We got to trust
you. You can try it as an adult. Yeah. So good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. we'll see. I mean, maybe we'll leave a couple little back doors. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But my inclination is sort of like, you know, it's a laptop. She's getting older. She can get around all the crap anyway if she really wants to. I mean, you know. So and in this case, she's had an iPhone for a couple years. And we don't have any controls on the iPhone. And so whatever she can't do on the computer, she can do on the phone. So what's the point anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So,
anyway. Well, good luck with that. Let me know.
We will certainly let you know.
Well, I'll let you guys have all the fun with that. So,
okay. Any other final thoughts on this whole episode, Rebecca?
I'm just glad it's... when I put my money back, and when that happens, I'll be very happy.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break. Hey, Rebecca, our next two topics are the debt talks in Washington and the power consumption of DVRs. Do you want to stick on, or you want to get to the beach?
That sounds really great, but I'm sitting on the beach, and I'm going to go jump in the water now.
Sounds okay. Like fun.
See you later, Rebecca. Thank you very
Bye.
Much
Thank
for joining us.
Thank you so
us.
Much. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
And actually, Rebecca, it's the poem of the week from your site that's next during this break. So,
everyone should stay and listen to that.
There you go. So enjoy the poem, everybody, and we'll be back in a minute. First, before I go to the break, thank you very much, Rebecca, and we'll talk to you later. I'm going to hang up on you now.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, Rebecca's gone. We'll take a break. We will be right back after this with other stuff.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
Favorite Hymns of Praise by Wade Fletcher. Some don't sip, they gulp, undertaking task for task's sake, your hand motioning the latch, turning it towards precedent. Some sip, slip, unworn from creation, staggered back as images opening, that the figure allows development of a figure which allows and is absent our opening or opposite our listing, our lagged, our brokered, our uptook and open to, our absence are all about. Some gulp, waking the air leeward, this touch fasting lightly on skin, reminder of presence refusal.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, Yvonne.
Yo.
It's just us now.
Yep, it is. Okay, so what's the next topic on the board? I thought we had three topics on the board.
Lulzsec. I completely forgot about Lulzsec.
Yeah,
and Rebecca may have been like, oh my God, you're going to talk about Lulzsec? I'll stay. But no.
Yeah, fat chance. Anyway.
You know, Lulzsec is probably a better topic for her husband, Chris. But
anyway,
who's like a security guy. But not like the kind that walks around a mall.
Right.
The computer security.
Not that. Yeah, right.
Although he'd be pretty good at the mall cop thing.
Yeah, probably, sure.
Like Rebecca said, he's a big guy, you know.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so Lulzsec, for those who haven't been following, there have been, over the last 6 months, maybe longer, I mean, Lulzsec has only done it for a shorter period of time, but a couple months, but there have been a whole bunch of these cases, and we've talked about them online with, you know, Sony getting hacked, or this or that, or, you know, people releasing private documents from some company, or doing releasing passwords like Gawker a while back, for instance. who runs a whole bunch of websites on various stuff, had all of their passwords released for like people who'd signed up to comment on their site. And you know, I think they got mine. I think I was on there. Luckily, it's a password I only use for like stuff like that that I don't care about very much. But anyway, there have been a bunch of these things, and lately, the last apparently almost 2 months, this group called Lulzsec, which was an offshoot of this other group called Anonymous, which was an offshoot of stuff that people were doing on 4chan, was doing a bunch of these, and they had targeted a bunch of companies, and they'd been very sort of flamboyant with, you know, press releases about what they were doing, blah blah blah. And the last major thing they did was they released a whole bunch of documents from the Arizona State Police, I guess.
Right, I saw that.
You know, and some of it was immigration related. They said it was a protest to the Arizona immigration law. But anyway, they were starting to attract some heat. The FBI is after them. Various international organizations are after them. Apparently someone was arrested in the UK who may or may not be directly related to them. But they announced this weekend that they were done. They'd been doing this for 50 days and they had fun and they're not going to do it anymore. And sort of passing the baton to whoever's going to do this kind of thing next. I don't know. I just want...
My thing is that what do they think? Do they think that because they're announced that they're going to stop, like the FBI is going to say, oh, okay, well, they decided to quit. Okay, no problem. We're not going to go after them.
Well, no, but I think they're going to stop, like, leaving more trail. Like, the trail they've already made still exists.
Yeah.
But they'll stop leaving more and more hints every day as to how to catch them.
Mm.
You know, because that's like, you know, one of the things is like, yeah, if somebody does, and this applies to all, like, crime, not just this kind of stuff, but, like, if you go do a one-off thing and then never repeat yourself...
It's kind of tough to find you.
It's kind of tough to find you. But
right.
the people who start making a habit of it and doing the same kind of thing and having a pattern that they follow, and, you know, those folks almost inevitably get caught because, figures out the pattern and at some point when they keep going, they slip up and they leave something and blah, blah, blah. But you know, the thing is with these guys is they play it off as, you know, this is just, I mean, the name is Lulz as in laughs, as in fun. You know, they play it off as this is just, you know, we're just doing this for fun to make, you know, to poke fun at people and to point out, you know, how bad some people's security is. So it's like, we're not really like, you know, trying to damage company X, we're just trying to show that company X has crap security.
Right.
You know? And yeah, I see some merit to that kind of stuff, but in the end you're causing damage and trouble for people. And you're,
I mean, this is the equivalent of me walking by say somebody's house, right? And saying, oh, they got weak security at that front door. Fuck it. I'm going to go in. I'm going to bust in. And I'm going to throw all their shit onto the street so everybody can see it. So that way everybody can know that they got cheap security.
Well, not even bust in. Like, I mean, I can tell you, like, you know, you could pick a street at random in a decent neighborhood, not in some, like, crime-ridden area, and just walk down the street checking people's front doors. You're going
right.
to find doors that aren't locked
aren't locked.
Walk in.
Right.
You know, and, you know, do ones where the car isn't in the driveway. The people might not be home. They forgot to lock the door. You know, I'll admit our door sometimes gets forgotten to be locked.
So does mine.
I'm religious about it, but not everyone in my family is.
No.
You know, and, you know, somebody could just walk in and take stuff. Does that mean that I'm inviting them to do so? I'm not sure that I am. No. you know, excuse me. But ultimately, you know, sometimes, like, you know, we've talked about the WikiLeaks things and whistleblowers and leaving and taking out documents that might be relevant to the public interest. And generally, I'm fairly supportive of that kind of thing. I think there's a lot that's secret that shouldn't be. I think there's a lot of corruption to be exposed. There's all kinds of that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, leaks where somebody is conscientiously leaking because they believe there is information that the public would benefit from is one thing. Just, you know, sort of indiscriminate, oh, I'm going to find these guys' password files and put it all up. Or, you know, these guys hacked the PBS website to put up some fake news stories. Okay. Fine.
That's vandalism.
It's just being a jackass.
That's vandalism. I mean, that's straight up. It's like the people that climb on freaking billboards and go and deface, ads on highways and shit like that. I mean, that's just straight up vandalism. I mean, what? It's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you know, some of their antics, I admit, I've laughed at a couple of them, ha ha. But in the end, they're just being dicks, you know. And I have a hard time getting a lot of sympathy, you know, for the inevitable day where the FBI is going to bust down their door and, you know, take them away, you know. Yeah, and who knows? Maybe they'll get away with some of it. Presumably, these guys have at least some intelligence and are covering their tracks in various ways. But at the same time, they were so ostentatious about some of this that you got to believe they slipped up somewhere, you know. Anyway, and the thing is, though, that this is the new world. I mean, from the reports, this organization is probably like five or six people. And, you know, at least some of them are probably kids. You know, like, and we're talking teenager kids, not Gideon kids, although who knows? Maybe Gideon
although who
one
knows?
Of them, you know? the reality is this kind of stuff will be happening all the time. Whether one little group decides to shut down or keep going or whatever, there are enough people who know how to do the basics of this disruptive stuff that it's just going to keep happening and happening and happening, you know. And so the fundamental message that, yes, companies and organizations who care about this stuff need to get their security act in gear is very much true. But at the same time, like we've talked about on other shows, as long as you've got somebody who will pick up the phone and when the guy says, hey, I'm IT, I need your password,
you defeated it right there. Exactly right.
Yeah. So, anyway, anything else to say about these guys? I don't know if I have anything else to say about these guys. They're a bunch of assholes, and, you know, they've occasionally done some funny things, but in the end, they're assholes.
I think we covered it. Okay.
Okay, that was a pretty short segment, but we'll be back after this, and we'll talk about the national debt or deficit or whatever, and DVRs. We'll be back after this. Okay, here we are, last segment.
All right, okay.
The deficit, debt ceiling, blah, blah, blah. Last thing I heard is some Republican cantor or whatever who is doing these talks walked out and said, I'm done, there's nothing else I can do, and basically kicked it upstairs so that now, rather than underlings, I guess it's Obama, Bonnier, you know, basically the leadership are apparently getting in a room and deciding and having a conversation.
Bonner?
Is it Bonner, Boner, Bonnier? I saw at least one person, you know.
It's not Bonnier. There was another guy called Bonnier.
Okay. Whatever.
This was either Boner or Bonner, depending on, you know, how you want to pronounce it, I guess.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that Wiener's out of the Congress soon.
Boner's got the whole, you know, monopoly to this by himself. Okay.
Anyway, like, and apparently Obama and however you say his name have been talking for a little while semi-secretly. They went golfing the other day, and of course, right, while they were golfing, they weren't talking about, you know, bullshit. They were talking about this kind of stuff. So I don't know. What's your thoughts on all this crap that's going on?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think that both sides have been doing quite a lot of negotiating and actually getting relatively close to an agreement in doing something in order to make some changes in order to impact the deficit in a long-term basis. Okay. However, as has been, like, you know, the problem that the Republicans have backed themselves into a corner over the last, I'm going to say, 20 years.
No
is
taxes.
This thing, read my lips, no new taxes. Okay. You know, so now they're trying to get into the semantics of, well,
we can eliminate a loophole, and as long as we don't adjust the tax rate, even if overall tax revenue goes up and some people will pay more taxes, if we don't touch the tax rate but we change the structure of the taxes, then it's not a tax increase.
It says here the parties could agree to what they would call revenue increases, which would be steps to increase government revenues without actually raising any tax rates, largely by eliminating deductions and breaks. Another approach would be to offset any of the tax increases Democrats want with tax cuts elsewhere. So they're, you know, basically, and but that it's just, you know, there's just, look, there is no fucking way to close a deficit this big just by cutting expenses. It just, there isn't. It's too much. And you know, you've got an entire Republican Party entirely arrayed in this position that is just, to them, it's like unmovable. And unless somehow, I guess, we get, you know, like, for example, some of the things that they're trying to propose right now, which are the revenue increases. Let's see. Republicans privately conceded the deal could include a proposal to eliminate tax subsidies for ethanol manufacturers, which already passed the Senate, like, recently. Seeking measures to end tax advantages that give oil and gas companies lower rates than manufacturers, curbs on depreciation of corporate jets, and a limit on itemized deductions, including mortgage interest. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff where they are, like, going, I guess, because, I mean, honestly, there's a lot of tax revenues, as they talk, you know, that you could pick up with that, changing a lot of that stuff. I mean, they are the biggest, because the rate's the rate. But however, you know, you got to look at somebody when you're paying taxes, you know, you look at the table and you get that rate. However, that rate is substantially impacted by all the adjustments to your income based on deductions. And I know that the rate that I pay versus the, you know, because of exemptions is certainly significantly lower. And most people it is. I mean, that's the point. I mean, that's how they create it, you know. But, you know, I guess, like, one of the ones that I have always said that I still don't understand is, like, why in the world do we give oil and gas companies lower taxes than manufacturers? You would explain that one to me, because I'm still, like,
they have better lobbyists?
Yeah, that's the only reason, because I don't see any other fucking reason why that would be the case. I mean, so, well, but here's the thing. We got a month to go. Something needs to happen in the next month. You've got a whole bunch of people talking out of their ass about the dollar collapsing, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. The Russians going and saying, oh, we're going to start selling off some U.S. debt. Here's a little problem. The Chinese had to go this week and go and, like, pledge support to buy euro-denominated debt, because you got the Greeks and basically they're going into default. Greece is going to default. There's just – I mean, the fact that they may restructure it in a way that doesn't look like a default, bottom line is that Greece is technically bankrupt. Okay? That's the bottom line. So you got one country in the Eurozone that's going bankrupt, and you could probably have, I would say, at least one other Eurozone country going technically bankrupt in the next 12 months. So all this talk about, oh yeah, I want all my money and safe euros is, give me a fucking break. What are you gonna do? Really? Or let me put it in some very safe let me buy some Hugo Chavez bonds. Let me buy some Argentinian very safe securities. I mean, come on. What?
Gold, damn it. Gold.
Gold. Yeah, of course. Gold is so safe. So anyway, so that's the thing, I guess. You know, we've got a month to go. I think it – look, in my perspective, I don't know if you agree. I think it is a good thing that they are butting heads at this rate in order to try to get something done, because otherwise, if they weren't this
Well, if they were waiting, I mean, the thing is, the Fed or whatever already restructured a bunch of stuff to give more time. Like, if they hadn't touched anything, we would have already hit the debt limit.
Correct.
But they moved a bunch of stuff around. They're playing some games, blah, 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 and moved it back to, what is August. It now? August?
August 3rd.
August right. 3rd. So, I mean, yeah, the way these jokers usually do it is, you know, it's due on August 3rd. We'll start talking about it August 1st, you know? So at least we're a little bit in advance here, you
right.
know? But, I don't know. It's a game of chicken, and, you know, I think we're in the same situation that we were when we were talking about the whole shutting down the government authorization thing a couple months ago, which is there is still a contingent of the House of Representatives who's like, hell yeah, let's shut it down. Let's let us default. Let's not raise the limit. And, you know, and so you've got the leadership who knows that that's not tenable.
I mean, let me put it this way. If the Republicans caused the U.S. to default under debt, I mean, how about they just not run for the next election? Because, I mean, there's going to be protests on the street burning them in effigy, okay? Because of the kind of financial crisis that's going to cause.
Well,
I mean, if they think we had a financial crisis.
Look, that all depends on the spin they're able to put on it. I've seen interviews with them over the last few days where they're like trying to put it all on, you know, we don't already have a deal because the president won't agree, is being unreasonable and is threatening a default because he won't agree to controls along with the debt limit increase. So the question of who gets blamed is not an obvious one. It depends on the spin both sides are able to put out if such a thing happens. And I've seen polls that, you know, split the difference. I mean, there's like both sides would get blamed if something happens. And of course, polls right now are meaningless because normal people aren't paying attention to this kind of thing right now.
Right.
But if it were to happen, the political impact would all depend on, you know, the exact spin each side was able to get out there and what people were, what resonated with people and who they believed and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, chances are it would hurt everybody all the way around. Nobody would come off looking great from this. And the only question would be, you know, who would be damaged worse?
Right.
I've heard one commentator, and I forget who it was, refer to it using the old Cold War terms, mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
I mean,
here's a problem, though. It usually, and this is like what happened like in the shutdown. Unless the president were to get a bill that he winds up vetoing, there is very little likelihood that they get the biggest blame. Hmm. Congress, you know, if the House is to passes a bill and then it doesn't go through, then that's a different story. But let's face it, they haven't passed shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, you know, that's where you get that problem. So that's just the thing I see. But anyway, regardless, this is like fucking playing with, like, I mean, this is, you know, this is shit you don't want to play with. Okay, all right. But we are, but it's okay. We still got time. I just, you know, better make sure we don't fuck it up. So I'm sorry.
I mean, I'll say the same thing I said with the government shutdown, which is they'll make a deal.
I think they'll make a deal. I think this time they'll make a deal.
I mean, I think the leadership on both sides recognizes that they have to, you know, and so one way or another, they'll make a deal.
Agreed.
So,
Okay.
We got a couple minutes. You want to do anything on DVRs?
Well, we could just jump straight into it. How much? Okay, so I was like today. I was looking at a news story about power consumption in homes. Okay, how much do you think a DVR spends on electricity a year compared to a major appliance? You know, I don't know. Would you say it spends like half the amount of your refrigerator?
So I've seen this article, so I will refrain from answering.
Oh, okay. All right, so you've already seen it. So basically, the bottom line is that a DVR, high definition, burns up more electricity than a frickin' refrigerator.
Right. So now let me ask, though. I mean, like, is this different? Like, and I guess most people don't, but, like, I have a big-ass desktop computer with a big-ass screen that is on 24/7.
Right.
You know, that's got to be just as bad or worse, right?
Apparently not, because apparently a computer has a whole bunch of energy-saving features that spin down hard drives, do this, do that while it's going. And so, therefore, unless you don't have those features turned on.
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on your energy-saving settings. Okay? But on a computer, even if you leave it turned on, I mean, I, for example, on the computer I'm using right now, I have it set that if I'm not on it, it will spin down the hard drives after a couple of minutes. It will dim the screen after a couple of minutes. It basically it goes into a very low power consumption mode.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm weird. Mine's running some server stuff, so I have it set to never sleep, etc. So, but I admit to being unusual there.
Right, but most people, like for example, will put their computers to sleep, or they're set to spin down, or do something, or whatever, etc. and so forth. You know, freaking DVR, man. I mean, it's like. It's on all the time. But the problem is that even I, for example, I would
and
shut
by, and
down,
by the way, it I, has well, to be on all the time to do its job. So
it depends, because you could have it that it goes into an energy saving mode while it's not recording a show. I mean, the one thing is that I'm like, okay, you know, like
even there, you lose some features because, like, most of these DVRs are always recording live TV. So, like, you could flip on the TV.
Oh, yeah. So
and rewind.
I usually turn off, like, I turn off my DVR.
Wow.
So it stops recording live TV when I'm not there. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I do that. Okay. So I don't have it recording live TV when I'm not there. But I'm realizing that even though I'm doing that, that doesn't really cut the energy consumption as much as I thought it would.
No, because you're not actually shutting it down. You're putting it in, like, suspend mode or something.
I'm putting in some kind of a standby mode.
Right.
But I guess that it's
not
as efficient. It only cuts the energy consumption, I think, something like...
I remember discussions, and this was years ago, so it may be out of date and may do something different today. But way back when on the old TiVos, there was a lot of people were getting upset that they couldn't turn it off. So TiVo did add a suspend function.
You could pick
suspend, and it turns out that the only thing the suspend function did was shut off the video out and turn on a little yellow light on the front of the thing. Everything else continued operating exactly as it always was. And it was basically just there to, like, mollify the people who were like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm leaving it on. But it just turned on a light and made it look like there wasn't doing anything, but it was.
But I guess my point is that I think that if you're not watching TV, you're not watching live anything, and it's not recording a program because it's not scheduled to record a program, for me, there are many hours of the day which I'm not recording a show, then why in the hell is it burning up so much power? I mean, it doesn't need that much in order just to keep the schedule going and figuring out and getting, oh, there's a program about to record. I need to go and, like, record it. Let me spin up and do it. I mean, that's, I guess, my point. I don't understand why the hell we have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, given that, you know, all of a sudden we put in a couple of hundred million of these fucking machines out there, you know. I mean, we are damn it, we talk about greenhouse gases, energy consumption, and all this fucking shit, and we're putting hundreds of millions of these goddamn energy hogs out there, sitting on everybody's living room, which we could. The point is that they don't need to be burning that much energy.
Well, and people have talked about. I mean, maybe these are a particularly egregious example. I don't know. I personally look at it and say, like, you know, I want my thing, like, I want it recording live TV all the time, because I want to be able to sit down at my seat when there's some, and like, if I see something interesting, I want to be able to rewind. But, you know, maybe that's something you can give up if you care about the power. But, you know, there are lots of devices in everybody's home that does this now. And there's a lot of, they call it phantom power or something. And you can get little devices that you can plug into the wall that sort of measure how much power various things are drawing. Basically, you stick this little box in between the device and the wall, and it has a little meter that'll basically just show you how much power it's drawing. But there are things like, you know, even like the microwaves that have the little clock on them. You know, you think that's nothing, but it's not nothing. It actually uses a decently measurable amount of power when you add it up over the course of a year. You know, there's, you know, lights, you know, there's like, lights that are on dimmers and stuff that actually use a decent amount of power even when they're dark. There's, you know, one that people bring up all the time is like charger cords. Like if you have a charger cord for your phone or whatever portable device you have, and you leave that cord plugged in even when your device is not sitting there charging, that charger cable is sitting there sucking up power. Not as much as when a device is attached, but again, a non-trivial amount while you leave it there plugged in. There are tons and tons of these things. Like, you know, and I'm looking around the room. I've got a printer. It's a wireless, it's a Wi-Fi printer thing so that I can, you know, print from wherever. And it doesn't have to be near a cord where it can reach a computer or whatever. It's on all the time, waiting for somebody to print. 99.99% of the time, I am not printing. You know, but am I going to go over there and actually unplug the damn thing when I'm not using it? Hell no. You know, and do I know that's costing me money? Yeah, that's costing me money. But is it worth having to remember to go plug in your printer every time you print something? I don't know. Not for me.
I think the point that I see from this is just that, you know, we have, you know, we talk about energy savings and whatever, and everybody keeps poo-pooing, oh, we can't do it. Let me tell you something. If we made a concerted effort with the electronics industry just to go around the house and, like, you know, just go and, like, stop a lot of this bullshit that is just burning up energy for no good reason whatsoever, okay, because there really isn't. Okay.
Yeah, and I think you're right there. There is probably a demand for smarter power saving modes in all kinds of devices. You know, and a lot of devices have a lot smarter power saving modes than they did 10 years ago, say. But there's
laptops,
obviously,
for example, further
room for improvement. You could probably really work hard to minimize how much power various things are using when they are in their standby modes. You know?
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not going to go and unplug my printer every time I'm not printing, but would I complain if my next printer has a smarter standby mode? No.
No! Nobody's going to complain about that. That's my point. I mean, that's the thing that really bugs me crazy. I'm like, why not spend a little bit more time on thinking about it? Why not fucking make a little smarter standby mode? Nobody's going to notice a difference if it takes a couple of extra seconds for the goddamn thing to go and fire up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they might be able to do it without even having the couple extra seconds. You know.
Exactly.
And there are other things, of course. You know, people have been talking about this kind of thing with major appliances like washers and dryers for forever. And there's
been big pushes to make those
are a lot more efficient than they used to be. Although I have seen a couple reports that say, yeah, they're much more efficient, but they don't clean as well as they used to. But,
well, I'll tell you something, okay? I recently had to get a new dryer, okay? I don't know if I mentioned this before, but the one thing about that my dryer has versus the old dryer is that, heaven forbid, it's actually got a sensor to sense when the clothes are dry. So it stops.
Yeah.
Well, fuck. You know, I'm like, that. I realize, and I, you know, that right now I'm running my dryer not even like a third of the time that I used to be running it. Okay? To dry the same amount of clothes with the same effectiveness, if not better. Okay? And I'm like realizing, why the fuck don't, I mean, they should make it fucking illegal that you sell a fucking time dryer, for God's sakes. I mean, really? I'm like, what's the point? I mean, if I you could have a dryer. Oh, low. Let me just have one that burns four times the electricity, or have another one that basically like saves 75% on energy. I'm like, why? Because I save $200 up front on buying the other one, and then I pretty much lose that money in the first year anyway? I don't know. So
now, I'm not with you with making it illegal, but I'm okay.
I know that's a little bit extreme.
More,
but
yeah. Although that's how things work. I mean, you know, they regulate the hell out of these kinds of things, and you know, and even when there's not like regulations per se, it's like you have to get that Energy Star sticker, you know. So, but you know, this is the kind of thing where if this matters to people, companies will make them more efficient, and people will
buy
them.
A lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing. People don't know. It's not obvious. I didn't know that the new dryers had that shit. I didn't know. If I would have known, I would have gotten rid of the fucking dryer I had there earlier.
You know, Yvonne, if you want to be really efficient, you can go back to using a clothesline.
That's true. That's true. But I will tell you this, having dried clothes out in the air, it's one of the most uncomfortable feelings on earth. No. Okay, you know what? I am all for saving energy. That's fine. But you know what? When you're crossing the line to when it comes unbearable to save the energy, no.
Well, you could just wear dirty clothes.
That's another option. Well, I actually, you know what? I try to like, I don't say about dirty clothes, but for example, I try to be like, you know, I don't wear like something for an hour and then fucking toss it into dirty laundry. Okay.
Right.
You know, I'll go, for example, like I'm wearing right now something I've worn to like wear around the house for the last 3 days. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the same shorts and t-shirts. So I'll go and I'll freaking wear those like every, you know, like, you know, just to hang around the house. And I don't freaking toss this, you know, I don't get a new set every day in order to do that. You know, I mean, I try to do stuff like that, you know, for example, to be careful. I don't go like, I mean, I'll wear pants, for example. I'll wear them four times before I get them cleaned, for example. You know, I got to count. I'll go usually four, maybe five times. I'll stretch it out. My jeans, for example, oh, fuck, the jeans, I wash them like once every couple of months. Okay.
You know, I actually thought I was pretty bad on that, but I'm not sure I'm quite as I'll wear like a pair of jeans or whatever two or three times usually.
Yeah, but I wear a pair of jeans maybe like only like four times a month. Okay, all right,
okay.
So I don't wear them that often. So, but what I'm saying is that they probably won't get washed until every couple of months because I don't wear them that often. But I won't go just because I wore the jeans.
So you're not talking wearing the same pair of jeans for a month before you wash it.
No. No. I'm just saying that, you know, I don't wear them very often, but it's just because the jeans were like they've been unwashed for 2 weeks, I don't go and fucking toss them in the washer again. And I know, and the reason I'm doing it is to conserve. It's not, you know, I figured that, you know, what's the point of just being wasteful, I guess, you know? I mean, that's my thing on trying to just conserve. I'm like, yes, I know. I drive a V8 car. Yes, everybody goes, well, what are you talking about conservation? Well, I will say this. I try to drive it gently enough that I'm averaging 21 miles per gallon. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, on average. So, you know, I probably, if I had to buy, I did say this before, that if I probably had to buy a new car right now, I probably would not have bought that. I would have bought something more energy efficient. But it is the car I got. It is what it is. You know, one of the things about purchasing autos that right now, for example, it's a lot more environmentally unfriendly to go and buy a new car than to stretch out the life of an existing car like that until it pushes. So
okay.
I'll just, you know.
There you go. And I think that's probably a show.
All right. Okay.
I will mention for any news hogs, we did not talk about the New York gay marriage thing this week. There's not much to say. It passed those kinds of things are moving forward. This is probably a big step for those initiatives. But, you know, it's over and done. And, you know, congratulations to those people in New York, I guess.
I agree. I didn't mention it. I know that it happened, but I was just like, I didn't know if we had much to add about it.
Exactly. I don't think we have much to add. It happened. And, you know, we've talked before about the statistics on public support for gay marriage passed 50% in the polls recently and has been on an upward trend for the last decade and continuing to go up.
I will say this. The other poll I saw is that support for legalizing marijuana has eclipsed 40%.
Yeah. So there are a bunch of these things that have trends like this that, you know, I know there are advocates that are pushing and pushing and pushing and want it now everywhere, but these issues seem to be the kind that are just like, hey, public opinion is slowly moving in that direction. It's only a matter of time. So, anyway, that's the show. Thanks, everybody, for joining us again for Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts. If you have any comments for our guest, Rebecca, please feel free to send them to me, and I will pass them along. Otherwise, tell your friends to listen and tune in next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.